Okay.
All right, so I had this dream while I was at the refuge. Ammon and I were staying in kind of one area of one of the buildings, so we were kind of together. Anyway, I had this dream, and then I told Ammon about it. And so he can verify that it was beforehand. And it at the time, and this is, I find the case in a lot of these dreams, they don't make sense.
Right, of course.
Okay. So let me tell you this dream, and then I can tell you the interpretation, and I can tell you that it was fulfilled.
Right.
Okay, so here's the dream. So I walk through this door, and this door is in like a wall that enters into like a courtyard. Not a building, but into like a courtyard, outdoor courtyard type thing. And immediately to my right, there's this large cage. So this courtyard's in like a zoo, so to speak. And right to the right of me is this large cage, and there's a huge lion in this cage. And it's, you know, the bottom of the cage is up, you know, a couple feet, and then inside the cage there's some other steps and, you know, kind of pedestal type thing, and this lion is up on top, and the gate's open. Okay. And so this lion immediately begins to come down and is going to consume me. And you know, of course I'm in fear. But then I realize I have a 5-gallon bucket of meat. And this meat is not junk meat. This meat is like
prime.
This is like T-bone steaks, and this is the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I take a piece of meat out and I throw it into the lion pen, and the lion goes to eat that, and I'm okay for a minute. And so then there's kind of a sidewalk, kind of, and then it, you know, it tees off and goes different directions, and kind of up there in front is a bunch of cages, and there's, you know, it's cages for a bunch of different large cats, but they're empty. And then these large cats of various types, you know, not lions, but, you know, cheetahs and tigers and different things, you know, of large cats, and they're all coming from two different directions, coming at me. And, you know, they're not running fast, but they're, you know, they're coming, and I know they mean business, and they're going to consume me again. So I start throwing meat. And so I'm figuring this lion is about finished with the meat, and I'm wanting to go get that gate closed before it can get out, you see. And so I go over there, and you know, it is done, and it's coming at me. And so I reach down back in the bucket, and all I have is this large bone that's left. And it's like the leg bone of a cow, you know. So it's, you know, it's good sized bone. Thick. It's got the joint on one end, and then it comes up a little ways, and then it's broke, so it's sharp on the one end. And I throw that bone in there. And the lion catches it and chokes on the bone. That's the end of my dream.
Mm.
And I have no idea what that means. No idea what that means.
What did you think?
I didn't know what to think. Okay, but this was a day or
did
two.
Did you know it was, like, significant?
No, you know, I told my brother.
Yeah.
And I said, but I don't know what it means. So, you know, a couple days go by, and then we are ambushed, and we're arrested, and we're thrown into jail.
Shot. You forgot the shot.
And shot, yeah. And then they take us in for the preliminary hearing, and I walk in the store, and off to the right is a pedestal with the judge, and up in front and to the sides are the marshals and the prosecuting attorneys, and
boom.
There's the cat.
The Lord told me it was going to happen a little bit. So then I thought, what does this mean? What are we supposed to do? These are the cats that want to consume us. And so we're going to feed them the good meat, not junk. And we decided that meat was the Constitution and the truth. We're going to feed them the good meat of the Constitution. We're
How
going to
early did you get in? Did you recognize that?
Immediately
that.
When I first walk in the courtroom,
you know, constitutions are
you betcha.
Are meat. Okay.
What does he have in his shirt pocket?
Boom, Constitution.
Constitution.
Yeah. I don't know if I had one that day.
You did because you said on your honor, can I hand these out? Oh, no, that's after we got the jury in. Sorry.
Okay, so all through this trial, and, you know, again, this is a year, we sat in there, and, you know, we're like, what's this bone? What's this bone? What's the bone going to be? You know, does the lion choke on the bone, or does it consume it? You know, what is this bone? You know, we figured we had everything else figured out. And so it was amongst us that were in prison there. You know, feed the cats. Feed them the good meat. Okay, feed them the good meat. And we did that. We kept feeding them the whole time. And we're like, what's the bone? So, now back to the jury coming back. And I'll never forget it. But, and keep in mind that when the government indicts somebody and prosecutes them, they have like a 98.5% conviction rate.
Right.
It's pretty much
hopeless.
They pretty much win everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're so arrogant in this. The judge was against us the entire time. I could tell you story after story all day. She just favors the government, mm-hmm. favors the government. You know,
Judge just, what?
Brown.
Anna Brown. Anyway, so And she's they're just thinking they have a cut and dry case against us. Our own attorneys, granted I didn't have one, even the ones that we liked figured we were all done.
No, they bet me. They Schindler. Bet me money. Oh, Schindler bet me steaks. They bet me money. They really and asked me what made me think I was not going to jail.
Yeah.
Cal, your own team.
Our own team.
Wow.
Everybody except...
Now, they were paid for by the government, right?
Sure. Everybody except for Munford, Ammon's attorney. Okay, so...
What about Morgan?
Morgan was Morgan was with Munford at the same time they said that.
He was there?
They were... Yeah. They were... They're playing the game. It's really bad.
Okay, So our chances are really, really slim, according to statistics.
Right.
Okay. And so anyway, now we're down to the jury delivering the verdict. And we've just gone through this thing that we expressed with the biased juror. And here we are 2 hours later. And the jury hands the verdict to the bailiff. And the bailiff hands it up to the judge. And the judge turns and looks at it. And she gasps.
She gasps.
Oh,
the blood
she
goes to gasps. Her face. The blood rushes up her neck.
And she's like, all righty then.
Is this what she said?
She could not believe it.
All righty then.
They just spent all that money.
$100 million. They had spent $100 million in that case to
take us down, right?
$100 million. And it that verdict was the bone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she...
Caught it.
She couldn't swallow that bone.
I think you said that it took her a while to actually say anything, right? Well, I would, right?
Yeah. No, she was. Yeah, she was absolutely in shock. I saw when she gets upset, the blood pressure comes up and her neck turns kind of red. You can see this red coming because I sit right in front of her. Right, and this red comes up her neck and it goes to her cheeks like this, you know. And when she would get really mad, when she'd scream at Mumford, because she hated Ammon and Mumford. And every time Mumford would start stuttering, it'd make her even madder. Then he'd stutter all the worse, and because it made him nervous.
Sure.
And so she was so angry that the first time she had him in the courtroom, she shut down the whole thing. Remember, and she said, everybody leave the courtroom because Ammon says, every time I try to speak, she shuts me down. And what's her name in the audience yells, let him speak. And the whole thing went, and they shut it all down. She says, air clear in the courtroom. No, first she says, eject that woman from the courtroom. The U.S. Marshals run back there. And then she comes back to the bench and she yells, clear the courtroom! Because she could, you know, she was so mad because people were starting to talk in the audience, right? And so she said, clear the courtroom, like the wicked witch that has this magic spell that we're all going to disappear. And even the attorneys jumped to their feet, grabbed their books like they were going to leave, and we're all sitting there going, okay, so what are we supposed to do? We're just sitting here. I've never seen anything like this, right?
Yeah.
And I said to Tiff, so what do we do next? Because she runs out into her chambers, and she's gone for 40 minutes. I said, can I go over? And she's not talking to me. The attorney won't even talk to me. She gets up and runs around over to the other attorneys because I fired her.
Right. Your attorney wanted you to lose.
She was so pissed off, and she says, no, she was getting chewed out by the judge because she didn't know what I was doing. That's why she was. That's why she was so
mad. That's why they don't like pro se, is because they can't control you.
They couldn't control me. And so she says, and she didn't know what I was going to say next because I never told her anything I was doing. I just did them, right? And so she said, she was really upset, and she would not talk to me, and she went around and talked to the attorneys. And then I said, well, do you think I could just go around and talk to Emma and Ryan while they're, and she said something about the U.S. Marshal standing over there. And I said, well, it's worth a try. So I started around all those tables, you know, and that great big one, I forgot his name now, but he's bald, he's huge.
He was a jerk, too.
Oh, but he wasn't to me. But he was at first. When I first, and he sees me coming, and I'm walking along there, and he goes, whoa! And he goes,
he was an attorney or a marshal?
No, he's a U.S. Marshal. And he's huge,
big,
right?
Yeah.
And he goes, okay, I said. So I went back and stood back in my chair. And the attorney still wouldn't talk to me. And finally I said, so what exactly are... Well, but they had stood up and grabbed their books like they were going to leave.
Mm-hmm.
She runs back to the bench and says, except for the attorneys and the defendants. You know, because she saw that they were jumping with... They jumped to their feet when she said clear the courtroom. They were ready to leave.
Yeah, that was funny.
And so, and we're going... What happened here? And she leaves, and she's gone for like 40 minutes. And I figure it's just enough time for Valium to kick in so she walks back out. Seriously, because she has to be in control to control the courtroom. There's no
Let me tell you a follow-up, because this big cat thing then followed
mm-hmm.
through
mm-hmm.
with several other dreams.
Mm-hmm.
So then I had another dream. And this dream was that I was... It was fresh after a rain. Things were kind of nice.
When did this dream happen?
I was still inside, but I think it was right after the completion of this one. So now...
I thought the first dream happened before you went in.
That's right.
Oh, okay. So this
Now it's completed. In other words, we've got the verdict.
Got it. Okay.
So, you know, we're down the road a year. And now, you know, we still have that other trial in Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so...
it's raining. Can you hear this?
Anyway, it just rained. Rain had cleared or whatever. And then I was on a motorbike out in the hills and riding through the desert. And I had come to a stop. And as I was stopped there, a large, powerful cat come up in front of me.
Hmm.
And this cat was you could just see the healthy, shiny, beautiful coat and just muscular. You can just see the muscles ripple in its shoulders and chest and stuff.
Yeah.
Just powerful. And it was just screaming at me, you know, screaming at me, and it was wanting to lunge and attack, and this cat kept changing colors. It was like a panther. It was like a tiger. It was like it had, you know, many different coats. But either one of them, they were all powerful, big old cat. It was one cat, but it had different appearances, different changes, and it wanted to consume me, and it was going to attack. And I was on this motorbike, but the engine was stopped, and it was right in front of me. And the only thing that was, say, between us was the handlebar, you know, mm-hmm. in the front of this motorcycle, which is not much protection,
no.
but mm-hmm. but it hadn't really, it kind of lunged at me a couple times, but hadn't come over the bar, you know. And so, I mean, I reached for my gun, and it was gone. I had lost it or something. The holster was empty.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I'm like, I need some help. And I there was others that had been riding with me, and I can hear their bikes in the distance, but they weren't right close to me.
Right.
And I thought, well, I'll start the bike. There's no way I could get the bike started in time and go before this thing can lunge. And so I'm on my own. This is me. And I know that that bar, handlebar, that bar is not going to protect me for very much longer. And so I know that I've got to overpower this cat. And so this cat is just about ready to attack. That little bar is not going to hold it back anymore. And so I stood up, you know, on the pedals or whatever, on the ground or whatever, and I just roared with all my might back at that cat to gain advantage and fear over that cat. And the cat, and I could see the hesitation in the cat. I'm dreaming it. And so, what does that mean? And so then we went through the second trial. And it was just about like that. And of course, we never really went through the other trial. But that's
what happened. Why didn't that happen?
It did happen.
No, I mean, why didn't the trial happen? It's for this.
Well, all along, we had been saying, the indictment's a lie, the indictment's a lie, the indictment's a lie. There's nothing on there that's true. You know, they had this 60-page or something like that indictment against us. All these charges. 31 pages. What's that? 61 pages?
I think there's 31 pages.
Yeah, I think it was 61
pages. What's the
more? I don't remember. All I know is
too many.
It was a big indictment. You know, they had umpteen something charges against us. You know, literally the mandatory minimum sentence, had they convicted us of it, would have been like 120 years in prison. Mandatory minimum. Not only that, but then they had asset forfeiture on top of there so that they would take everything we owned and leave our wives and families in complete destitute. Okay, that's what their goal was, is to completely ruin us and our families forever. That's what the goal was. And of course, I'm without an attorney, because I choose to be. And
boy, aren't you dumb.
Yeah, and of course, that's exactly what the judge tried to tell us. Oh, you gotta, you know, I can't trust my life to anybody. I gotta stand on my own, too. You know, I knew I knew that. I could go through that process.
Shana with had one, fired the attorney.
Yep. Anyway, so, but we start going through, you know, this whole time we've been screaming, this indictment's not real. These guys are lying. They're hiding things. They're making stories up there. You know, and the judge wouldn't believe us, judge wouldn't believe us, judge wouldn't believe us. And so now we finally get down to trial, but we're having several hearings prior to trial because, one, I turned in a motion, motion of discovery. And the motion was because I knew that there was a camera upon the hill facing our house, and we didn't have any footage from that camera.
Why didn't that footage show up?
And so that was the question.
It denied it existed.
Okay, so I said, I said, I want to know what that camera was. I want to know its make, its model, its capabilities. Because it was more, I thought it was more than a camera, because I could see a laser coming out of it. I thought maybe it was a parabolical listening device. I thought it might have been a target acquisition device. And I knew it was a camera. But so I said, I want to know the make, model, and capabilities of that machine. And I want all the, you know, the recordings, audio, visual, whatever it recorded. Okay? And the prosecution responded to that motion as that, oh, he's making stuff up. It's never existed. It's just a fishing fishing expedition. It's not real. And they made fun of me. And the judge ruled in their favor and denied my motion. So now we get started into trial. There was other things going on. There was quite a few other things going on. This is just one of the things.
Yeah, no doubt.
But we started to get into trial, and I ask every witness, was there a camera? No, they didn't. No, they didn't. No, they didn't know about a camera. Well, someone didn't get the memo that they're supposed to hide the camera, and I asked one of the witnesses, was there a camera? Oh, yeah, that had a live feed to the main compound. Whoa! Remember that?
What happened?
I think we found it on the discovery. Remember when they had to bring in, and we brought in, we were able to get Dan Love because we asked for the discovery on him, and they wouldn't allow him until he got fired. As soon as he got fired from the BLM, then they let us have him as a witness. And then he lied. But they brought in those other women. Remember?
We never put Dan Love up there.
Mm-mm. Yeah, he was on Skype. No. Yeah, we did. He was on Skype where maybe you weren't in the courtroom. Dan Love was because he hid the notebook. He had the kill book.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was there.
But that was in a hearing, not trial.
No. Well, right, because we never got to trial. Yeah. This was the before the trial. Yeah. That's it, because we asked about all the shredded evidence. And we brought Dan Love in because we finally got to put him on. That's where the woman says, oh, there was a camera. But she didn't know, because when Dan Love said all these things, he opened it up to these other ladies who were... we were asking if they shredded the evidence, right? Because one led to the next, and pretty soon now we kept opening up more cans of worms here and bringing in more people. And she didn't know she wasn't supposed to talk about the camera, but she knew the camera was there. So she verified exactly what Ryan kept saying, that there was a camera, which the prosecution declared there wasn't one.
Well, and not only that, but even all the other defendants, defending lawyers and stuff, thought I was crazy.
Yeah, you know, no one kept denying it.
Okay, you know, they thought, why are you asking everybody, you know, they're dumb questions. Leave it alone. You're sounding stupid, you know.
Yeah.
But when she finally opened up about it, then she testified that camera was putting a live feed right to their main compound, and they had it on a big screen TV, and everybody was watching. Okay?
Not only wasn't it just a small camera, it was like camera.
Yeah, it was the camera. Everything, yeah.
And then I said, and so in other words, that... Then we brought up, I made a motion to this. Prosecution made me, you know, made fun of me, and you denied the motion.
What's up with, aren't there sanctions? What goes on here? This is,
you know, and here
these guys on trial now?
You know, and so, you know, I asked for this information. And so, like I said, there was a lot of other things going on.
Right, sure.
But so then, and I said, I want the recordings. You know, what happened was we started to find a bunch of stuff that they were withholding evidence.
Brady
stuff.
Yep.
And so this was, and the judge kept siding with the government. Oh, they're not withholding, you know. And then when I did this, it kind of cracked the case, because then... caught him red-handed, you know.
Well, when we showed up with a photo, that's when it. Really
that's right, because then one
what
of my
was the photo?
My one about? Of my neighbors had taken a photo of the camera.
It wasn't in evidence. No,
we had somehow or another we discovered that she had it.
We knew that, because what happened when the refuge was all gone, when all that was going on at the house, right? When all this standoff went down. We asked everybody, I said, everybody bring in your cameras, because we need all of your photos, all of the stuff that was taking place, and we brought them, everybody's in, and Bailey was downloading them as fast as she could onto the computer. So we had all of our backups, all our SIM cards, everything was being fed into this computer. So we knew it was there, but there was hundreds of thousands of photos.
Yes, too much.
And I knew
too much
they were there.
There was like 3 terabytes of information.
Right. So we didn't have, and we had to get time. And I said, "You got to find this photo. You got to find it." So that all she could find, Bailey found one that was about that big that came up on the screen that had the camera, and we couldn't get it blown up because it would disfigure it. Right.
Yeah.
So I have made this book, 8x10 color pages. And because I knew Brett wasn't going to make this argument, he wasn't going to fight this fight, because he never did any of the case. I was doing the whole case.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, the only way I'm going to get him to do the argument is I'm going to take all those photos and I'm going to blow them in 8x10s. I'm putting them in plastic sheets and I'll put them in dated time. Okay, the cows that got killed, Davey got hit, all these photos that I got.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to put them in here so that when he stands up there to argue the argument, it's photos. He can just tell what happened, all the damage that's been done, all these, the water tanks, everything. I had in a binder, red binder. And I had been gathering this thing together, but I couldn't find the two photos that they kept saying that was there and they said didn't exist. Mm-hmm. And we knew the camera was there, and we knew that the snipers, because they were walking across the top of the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Dang, I couldn't find those photos anywhere. I gave me, you go back, you find me those photos, this is what you got to do. And because we only had that one tiny one, we had to go back to the lady that lives next door.
Yeah, Ella May.
Ella May. She's
the one that took the picture.
Yeah, she did. So I said, you have to find that photo. Check through all your films, because Bailey's got to spend her time working on this one. I have to have those two photographs. And they worked for weeks looking for those two photographs, and they couldn't find them. And so when we had the parade that night, on Saturday night, after the parade was over and I stayed in Vegas, they texted them to me on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, oh, hallelujah. I ran back to Brett's office that night, late that night, because I have the key to the office that I'm in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I blew them up, and I made them in 8x10 photos, and I stuck them right inside the top of that binder, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is Saturday night. Sunday, I don't go into the office. Monday is when Ryan goes in to stand, because I went to church there on Sunday, mm-hmm. and that's when the Lord says stand, right? So I call, and Ryan calls, and I said, you got to stand.
I've been standing
and
all along.
Did that. But. So yeah, but they didn't shut you down. Remember, yeah. You said that. So when I went back after they threw you out and you went back to the halfway house that night, mm-hmm. okay, I went back to Brett's office. I went in there and I looked at that binder. And guess what? The attorney, Brett, had gone through and looked at that binder on Sunday. No, you were in the office, and while you guys were having the court, I ran over to his office in the daytime. It wasn't after that. I went over in the daytime to check on those photos, and when I got that book binder, I saw that on Sunday he had gone through and put a sticky tab on every single picture. It was like in stair step, right?
Right.
So he had put all those sticky tabs on it, which tells me that he read it.
Mm-hmm.
I opened the binder and the top two are missing.
Huh.
Okay, so the one was stuck in between the timeline here,
mm-hmm.
and the other one was missing, which tells me that he looked at it on Sunday, and he took those photos to his friend Gloria Navarro Sunday night. So on Monday morning, everything that Ryan had said was absolutely true, and she was going to jail.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
When we finally brought that to light, then the government said, oh, well, it wasn't recorded.
What wasn't recorded?
Anything off that camera. It was just live feed, but it wasn't recorded.
Yeah, my foot.
That's really? Right. And the judge didn't buy it. She's like, that's when she finally turned towards our direction a little bit. She's like, I don't believe that for a minute. You guys, with all of this going on, you record absolutely everything.
Yeah, and it was your main camera, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, there's so, no way. So they
I know what that means. It's like, you got your main camera.
Yeah.
You only really worry about these other side cameras as backup and something to cut away to. Your main camera is, you never turn it off.
Yeah.
It's always on from beginning to end because that's your main camera. It captures the event.
Anyway, exactly. With that and the photographs of the snipers, and then we found documentation that there were snipers there. See, because that was the other thing. See,
there were no snipers.
Part of the indictment was that we were lying to the public, saying that we were pinned down and that they had snipers on us.
Mm-hmm.
And they claimed that they had no snipers and that we weren't pinned down, that we were free to come and go. And then we find these cameras, and then we find photographs of the snipers, and then we find documentation that they had snipers.
Mm-hmm.
And they referred to them as snipers.
And anyway, it just unraveled. And the judge had no choice but to dismiss the case with prejudice, because if she didn't, then one, we were going to expose the government publicly for all these atrocities.
It'd go on the record as the...
Well, the camera shows up because this camera is sitting on top of the hill and it's got four armed agents standing around it. And the beautiful thing is it was right on the hill. At the bottom of the hill is a big yellow sign with black writing on it, black...
Yeah.
Bundy Melons. Yeah, there is no doubt where this where was this shot.
Yep.
She took that picture.
It wasn't like they it shot it somewhere like else.
And, right. Were and him, you could, there was no doubt where that took place.
That's a beautiful sign.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've seen it.
Bundy Melons?
Yeah. I did tell you about going up on the hill and climbing. Yeah.
Anyway, so I claim
we're never going to go to sleep.
Yeah, we got to go to bed.
What's the summation here, sir?
The summation is that, put it this way, there's no doubt that the Lord intervened in so many ways.
Yeah.
The dreams, the, you know, and that also tells me that he knew what was going to happen. He had the plan before it ever began. He gave me hints of that with these dreams.
Keep you encouraged to a degree, maybe.
Okay, yeah. And so, you know, again, back to that second dream, you know, when I finally had to stand up and roar back, you know, my opening statement, my questioning of, you know, these different things that I had to do to get that big cat to back down. And so both dreams came true. Took a year for each of them.
Wow.
It took a lot of turmoil and a lot of risk, and these cats were going to destroy me, and they wanted to. The prosecutors, the judge, they wanted to destroy us all.
They did. They why? Wanted, they hated us going pro se, number
why?
One.
Why?
And they didn't well, want him to say because we oppose. Anything. Oh, yeah, because okay. You...
That's why they hate you. Same thing.
Because mm-hmm. You can't go against the establishment, and you can't go pro se, because now you throw her game up. The court, two rules of the court, again, never ask a question you don't already know the answer to, premeditated, and the judge wants no surprises. Mm. Pro se means you're throwing her game off. She can't control the courtroom if you bring in things that are not in their plan.
Right.
So that she can't have control of the courtroom because pro se screws it up.
Yeah, because so the attorneys are actually going to meet.
You're
going to
screw this whole thing up. I said, yes, I am.
Thank you very much. I will. Thank you.
That's
yes.
What she said to me.
So she screamed at me. The judge said that.
No, my attorney did that. She screamed at me. Because the judge kept getting after her because she wasn't controlling me.
You in.
You're going to screw this whole thing up. Those guys are filing all this Narnia stuff, and they don't even care about you. That's what she said.
Well, anyway, in the end, you know, if you look at it, I believe that the judge was caught in a position where she had to dismiss the case. Because if we didn't, a lot of these hearings were done closed doors. But if it had gone to trial, okay, we were going to expose a whole bunch of the government. And she was going to be in trouble.
She would be in
the prosecutors were going to be in trouble. So to me, her dismissing it wasn't because she sided with us.
Justice had nothing to do with it.
She did it to protect the government and herself.
Herself, yeah. Absolutely. That's the truth.
Do you think she... Why do you say she would have gone to prison?
Because we had all these things that she did that was illegal. We already had it. A judge in bad behavior absolutely is fine. Okay, see, they can't even be a judge. And if they lose their judgeship, they're out of everything forever. She'll never have another job. She can't... See, they get these jobs and they're retired. They're judges until they die. And they have the supreme ruling because they're the king and the queen. If she gets this charge as in bad behavior, they're only in honor when they're in good behavior. When you say your honor, once they become bad behavior, they're done. She can't have that. That's why we couldn't file all those things against her. Because they would have to keep striking them and making the motions mm-hmm. to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. Take it off the board. And so they don't want to have bad counts against them. But those other judges that are working with them, see, if you try to appeal the Ninth Circuit, they're all judges.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to protect her and cover her up.
That's
so
what
she
happens.
Says,
yep.
Somebody's going down here because I got to get rid of this case. Right? I loved it. It was such a beautiful plan that took them 2 weeks to figure out. She says to Myra, you're going down. You're taking the heat because I'm not going down. You're going to take
Who's
the
Myra?
Heat.
He was the prosecutor.
David Meyer was the prosecutor. He was the head prosecutor. And then she says, but don't worry, I'm going to save you. Right?
Wow.
So she does that. She feeds the audience to make them think, okay, I'm the good guy, and you are the bad guy, and you willfully did da-da-da-da-da, and she's chewing him out in the courtroom. And
show. It's all for show.
And he's trying to go, yeah, it's a show. Absolutely. Premeditated before it ever hits that courtroom. And she says, and so she's trying to appease the audience, you did it, da-da-da-da-da. And they're gonna, that's why I have to let him go, like, right? And then she says, and I'm the good guy, see, because I'm going to let you all out. I'm going to let you out. And then she says at the very end, which nobody's listening to because they're so excited about their getting out, but she puts at the very end, the caveat says, but there will be no criminal charges. She covers him. She covers him with a cloak. He doesn't get Bogna's position. He moves back to where he was in the first place.
Wow.
And now everything's same as roses. Wow. Do you know that all his property is unnamed? It took me forever to find his properties. Because they put in the county recorder's office, there are no names on those piece of property.
Wait a second. Who are we talking about?
Daniel Bogdan is the head of justice. Yeah, he's the head.
He's the head prosecutor.
So he's above, yeah, like the...
All the attorneys.
Yeah, all the attorneys.
He's the head. Yeah. He's the head of the federal...
And he was very involved with the whole entrapment, trying to get us...
Cow. Yeah.
Along with Daniel Sheese, Nadia Hamad, and Stephen Myers.
So you walk into a court, and you kind of assume that, oh, judge right up here, impartial.
Yeah.
Impartial. No. I'm here to find justice. No, right. And then half the people over here are prosecuting, half the people are defending. It's going to be a fair fight. Mm. Are you kidding?
Your defense are high-fiving prosecutors.
Everybody is against you.
All right.
Anyway, so, you know, the miraculous thing was, and the marvelous thing was to all the world, was we went through two federal trials with no convictions.
It's so beautiful.
I was facing 23 felony charges total between the two cases.
Wow. 120 years minimum.
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 Yep.
And then maximum?
I was in the 300 range.
300, 350, whatever it takes.
Yeah, I'm just
right?
Like, you know, I'll...
It's like Todd Engel said, what difference does it make?
Yeah, and that's what I say.
What's another $100?
and that was one of the points was, oh, so, you know, maybe we can have a downward departure in the, you know, in the sentencing, and so now it's only 80 years.
We're dead either way, we're however you want to.
I'm not placing my hand, my life, in the hands of a court-appointed attorney. Ain't gonna happen.
No way.
In fact, listen to this. This is funny. So, they assigned Angela Dowdell to be my attorney in Nevada. So, first thing I do, I meet her for the first time.
She's young.
And I'm like, you know, have you read the Constitution? Oh, I don't know. I might have read it in high school. You know, okay.
Good.
All right. So I'm like, and this is, by the way, this is after, you know, the trial in Oregon was 8-week trial.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more or less every day in there, you know, a few days off here and there. 8-hour days, long days, okay. I faced, I don't know, six felony charges there or something like that. So I had quite a bit of courtroom experience in federal trial. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, so Angela, how much experience do you have? Have you ever been in a federal trial? She goes, yeah. I go, how many? She goes, I was in three. I go, tell me about them. She goes, well, the first one, the trial was only a couple hours, you know, not very long. And she goes, and the other one was about a day.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one, well, we just barely got in there, and then he, you know, and then he backed out and took a plea. So it was almost nothing, you know, an hour. I said, so how many of those did you win? Well, none of them. They were all convicted. Okay, so I said, okay, let me add this up here. So you're the attorney. You're the one supposed to be with the experience. You're the one. So you've had a total of maybe, if we press it, a day and a half time in federal court experience.
Yeah.
and you have a 0% success rate. Mm-hmm. And then there's me. I have 8 weeks of trial with 100% success rate.
Mm-hmm.
I go,
maybe I should do this myself.
Yeah, and you're supposed to, and you haven't read the Constitution, you don't understand it, like, you have no principles, you won't stand up and do anything for me. She would do nothing.
No,
everything, every time I ask her to do anything, she's all, I can't, I'm restricted. You know, they tell me I can't do this, or this court order that, or court order this.
Who are you working for, lady?
I'm like, yeah, I'm like, I go, if the mountain is placed in your way, then you go over it, you go around it, you dig under it, you go by it, you get around it one way or another. You don't just say, I can't. She wouldn't help me in any way. I just said,
except for she did do this, I have to say, in her defense. I went to her, and at least she put us on the, so that we were getting all the information from the court. We were getting all the emails. That's true, and then she did that when no other attorney would do that. Hmm. So we were getting the transcripts. We were getting the stuff back, which was very helpful for us, since none of the other attorneys would do that. She didn't do anything else, but she did do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, I detested her. I mean, I she was so dumb. She was so dumb.
She was very
and
innocent.
I could not call her.
Didn't use her there.
I just called her dumb. That's what she was.
So she was your standby.
Standby, and I couldn't get her. You know, and I fired her, and she wouldn't leave, and she's, you know, obviously she was working for the court. I finally, I had to get mean with her, and I don't know whether she got scared
she
or what.
She asked to be released.
Finally. Yeah. But I had told her to leave for a year in advance. I know. But see, she's getting paid.
That's the thing.
And she's getting paid.
You're trying to hurt me.
Yeah.
Ryan, why would you
pregnant.
Hurt me? If
and she was pregnant.
Yeah, but that. But she should have been a mother in a home.
Yeah, she should have been a mother in a home, not an attorney.
Not pretending to help somebody.
And get all this money that she didn't deserve.
How much do you suppose they're paid?
I don't know.
Tens of thousands at least in a year time. I don't know what it was.
Wow.
They didn't let me work with them like they did in Oregon. So I don't know. I didn't get to get
Well,
here's my big question. Do y'all have the audio recordings from the court?
No, we don't have them all.
You do have some.
I have some.
I don't know. Did they even keep an audio?
Oh, they did. Everything. You bet.
We have transcripts.
Well, okay. I've got all the transcripts. But I don't have... And
that's
yeah.
the thing you want.
We've got transcripts and we've got note takers because we had court watchers and shit.
Were you there the whole time?
No, but she did a really bunch of the good time. Job.
I was there for
she
all
wrote
of theirs.
Really good. Yeah.
Yeah, for all of the last amazing. Ones, I came in right when the other guys were.
Yeah. But the other guys that were convicted.
They're the ones that went through the long trials.
No, not all of them.
Oh.
Okay, like.
I'm sorry, Mrs.
Eric Parker.
Eric,
they hung out to the very end.
And I'm talking
Todd Engel particularly. Todd Engel's a bad man. He's the one that got hurt the most.
And because Todd Engel, see, they did the trial prior to us. But they convicted Todd Engel and stuff because they wouldn't allow him to talk about the snipers. Because it was ruled that there weren't any snipers and therefore you can't talk about them.
But your case discovered that there were and they should have released him.
That's right. But they didn't. She went and sentenced him to 14 years.
He's
still in there.
And a $10 million restitution, which nobody else got.
That's
crazy. He's the only one that got hit with a $10 million restitution.
Is President Trump... President Trump being talked to about this?
He's not going to do anything.
He's been notified many times.
He's not going to do anything.
Who do you think he is?
Just curious. Well, let me tell you.
He's actually with Rick Kerber. They're in the same jail.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was talking about President Trump.
Who
do you think
Trump.
He really is? Probably have an opinion on that, I would imagine.
Well, we're sort of... I never had a full... faith in him.
Yeah.
I had
hope,
voted for him,
but not a full faith. Right?
Yeah.
But I always felt like there's something underlying here. It's that feeling that you get when everything's not right. There's something under there. Not right. When you get a sick kind of feeling, it's not quite... I can't wholeheartedly put all my apples in that basket. Mm-hmm. Because there's some good things, and then I see some things that are not good.
Yeah.
And why are we in this situation right now if he was saving the country? Why are we in COVID?
This COVID?
COVID.
Oh, COVID, sorry.
Why are we in this? If he was really saving the country, this isn't to save the country, and he knows it. Hmm. He was doing a good job of protecting the borders, sort of, but really, why are we building a wall? You know, the easiest thing to stop them from coming into America?
Hmm.
Take away all the funding out of Mexico that we send down to them.
That's right.
Stop. And tell them, we'll pay it. If you stop them from coming into here, we'll give you your money. You don't stop them, we're going to hold back your money.
Mm-hmm.
Don't stop it right now. Why the heck are we? Why, they will stop
why are
it.
We even discussing
they
it?
They will stop it. We don't have to build
all
the wall.
Benefits they get when they come.
Well, yeah, but still, doesn't matter. You're right. But it doesn't matter because they won't get here.
Because
the Mexican cartel is not going to let them cross the border if they don't get the money.
Yeah.
They'll build them.
Yep.
Wow.
They'll shoot them at the border. And so it's a real simple fix, but they're not going to do it.
We're in such a mess.
Okay, turn off the lights. We're going to bed.
Go to bed. Good night.
We'll be up in a couple of hours.
Thank you. That was good, Wendy.
That was awesome.
I did not know you knew all that stuff. I didn't know you were there.